Africa, and if you want to feature on your record, it'll cost you.
Welcome back to 32 Fans. I'm Alex Chester. With me, as always, Wheels Meeneker. Wheels, how's it rolling?
I feel the energy. I feel you're so excited.
Oh, God. I'm such a shitty
You know what I would do for a 5-3 team right now?
Yeah. It's not even that. It's, you know, I'm going to go on a rant here. So I wrote an article this week. I'll include a link to it in the podcast notes. I wrote it on Medium. I ranked the 32 cursed franchises in the Big Four sports here in America. And, you know, I defined it basically as any team that hasn't won a title since the 60s. And both your football team and my football team are prominently on that list, of course. And one of the things when you have a team that is sort of like that, you know, a cursed franchise that hasn't won in 50 years and often finds dramatic and terrible ways to lose, is you're always expecting the worst, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's a hallmark. You know, you obviously, you have teams, you know, you have UConn and the Spurs where it's sort of the opposite. You're always pretty much expecting the best with those. You win titles when you're supposed to, and you win titles even sometimes when you're not supposed to.
Yeah.
I haven't won any titles in 25 years in any sport. So, but the Vikings, obviously the worst of it. You always expect.
What
the
about
worst.
Like Little League? Do you have any championships in Little League?
No.
No?
No.
You have no trophies?
I have trophies. Yeah, participation trophies. What did I win? I'm trying to think. I'd have to
I never won. That. I never won at any level. I never won, like, even camp. I never won any titles.
My best
even if there's like four teams in a league, I never won one of those leagues ever once.
My best trophy.
To be fair to all of those teams, they had me on them. So
yeah, that's true. So it was a handicap to overcome. But you know, one of the things, you know, the first time the Vikings obviously broke my heart in my fandom, I don't remember some of like the earlier things, was in '98. Obviously, the Gary Anderson game when they had, you know, the greatest scoring offense of all time. They went 15-1, and people thought they might have been the best team in history. You know, until the loss, obviously. And I was talking to my dad Sunday morning before the game, and the Vikings were 11-point favorites, and even 11 was too low. Nobody thought the Falcons had a chance. And I was talking about the Super Bowl and everything, and my dad said, you know, just hold your horses. And I'm like, what are you talking about? There's no way they can lose. And he said to me, I'm not saying they're going to lose. What I'm saying is you haven't seen four lost Super Bowls and the Hail Mary and the Darren Nelson game. Like, I'm not saying they're going to lose, but this is a team that always finds a way to lose when you don't think there's a way. And that I hadn't really learned that yet as a Vikings fan until that year, obviously. You know, you obviously know that as a Jets fan, probably as a Mets fan also, although they're not on my list just because they have won a title. You know, most Mets fans alive today have seen them win a World Series just because, you know, baseball fans tend to be old. So if you're over 35, you remember 86, obviously. But, you know, I hadn't yet learned that. And I think that's sort of one of the defining aspects of when your team is cursed. You always expect the team to find a way to lose, even when they really shouldn't.
Yeah.
And the reason I bring this up is because
when the Jets are up 12 with 2 minutes to go, I always assume they're going to lose.
Yeah, exactly. And the reason I bring this up is because we're ranking NFL coaches today. And the highest praise I can give Mike Zimmer is that what Mike Zimmer had done through 5 weeks of this season is he had taken that away from me. I expected the Vikings to win. You know, they lost the Eagles, and they lost the Bears, and now they lost the Lions. And in each of those games, I was fully confident at every point in the game, oh, the Vikings are going to win this game. They're going to come back. They're going to win. And, you know, my sort of traditional position as a Vikings fan, Zimmer had reversed that with his competence and with his success. And now that's no longer the case. Now I expect the Vikings to find a way to lose every game. They're going to go 8-8. They're not even going to make the playoffs. The season's over. So
I don't think they're going to go 8-8. I mean, that, you know, I was thinking about it. Like, my team stinks, but unless you're a fan of, like, six or seven really pathetic teams, the scoreboard is set up. Like, the standings are set up for really interesting final 2 months of the season. Like, the NFC North, your division is going to be a total madhouse, right? You have the Packers in third place, but everyone's bunched up together except for the Bears. In the three AFC divisions that aren't the East, where the Patriots have already run away with the division, every single team, all three divisions have three teams within one win of each other. You know, so the Browns, Jaguars, and Chargers are non-entities. I mean, the Chargers are 4-5, but they're relative non-entity. But then the Raiders, Chiefs, and Broncos, the Texans, Colts, and Titans, and the Ravens, Steelers, and Bengals are all, you know, bunched on top of each other. And then in the NFC, obviously, the East is fantastic. Even if the Cowboys run away, those other teams are going to be fighting for playoff spots. And then you guys with the Lions and the Packers. And we both think the South, the Falcons are going to fall back to earth, and all three teams are waiting for them. So, you say the Vikings are going to go 8-8, and that's possible. But I think that we're in for like a really interesting stretch run that I can sort of enjoy stress-free without having to worry about the Jets. Like, at a certain, I was thinking about this, like, I always want to watch every Jet game. Like, they're so precious, football games. You only have 16 a year, and sometimes you're eliminated the last few games mathematically, and they really don't matter. But the problem is when you, your team, when you start rooting for your team to lose, it's almost not enjoyable to watch, you know? Do you ever have that?
Logically, I should, but emotionally, I can't. I root for my teams to win even when it's against their interests.
Right, but here's the thing. At a certain point, in the NFL, it's different a little, you know, in baseball, it really doesn't matter because we don't know the players. In hockey, it doesn't matter.
Only basketball. Football.
But, right, basketball, it does matter, especially certain years where there's like a real prize that you want to be one, two, or three that to have a shot at. But if I'm a Jet fan and I haven't, you know, seen any, you know, we haven't had, other than 1998, we really haven't had a Pro Bowl level quarterback the entire time I've been a fan. And you sort of realize at a certain point, we're never going to be able to compete with, you know, the top teams without a real quarterback. And like next year, right now, if the, you're saying the Jets, who are 3-6, end up 6-10, which is possible because they still play the Rams, the Niners, the Dolphins at home, the Bills at home. Like, it's very possible that they end up 6-10 and they get like the 8th pick or the 7th pick.
Or even 7-9. They could finish.
They could. Yeah. I mean, they're not good, and I think Fitzpatrick's going to miss a couple weeks now with this ankle injury he suffered yesterday. So Bryce Petty might be a total disaster. But even so, I mean, why continue this? Like, until we get a quarterback, there, we have nothing. So just root for them to lose. And
no, I understand the argument.
And the problem is there's no quarterback. Like, even if we get the number two pick.
No, even but even if you had LeBron James, I still root for my team to win and hurt their chance to get him. I agree that it doesn't make sense intellectually. I agree that come draft time, you're going to have to trade other assets to move up one spot when you could have just lost a meaningless game.
Yeah.
But I can't do it. When I watch my teams, I root for them to win in every scenario.
I mean, I usually do, but my thing is now, I think I'm going to watch this week, but if they lose and their season's over at the bye at 3-7, I think I'm going to watch the Red Zone channel the last 6 weeks. Like, I'll keep an eye on the Jet games, but I hate this team. Todd Bowles is abysmal. I hate him so much. It actually makes my blood pressure go up during the games because he makes so many bad decisions that like a child would know not to make.
He also had a weird smile at the end of that game.
Yeah. Well, that's what he does. He's very even keeled. He really doesn't. He doesn't get too happy. Doesn't get too mad. I think the New York media hates him because he gives them nothing. Like, he's the worst media guy ever. Like, he's not interesting. He doesn't give them, you know, he doesn't give them any nuggets. He's not friendly with them. He's not like mean, like Popovich-y, standoffish to them, or Belichick. You know, he just dull to them, which is the way to handle it in most places. The problem is the media will turn on you in New York and they'll get you fired.
Yeah. Well, let's see where he shows up on our rankings. How about we do that?
Yeah, we're going to do coach power rankings today, 32-1. We both rank coaches. We average them out. I guess we'll talk about the games of the teams individually as we get to those teams.
Sure. All right. And you haven't sent me your lines yet this week, but I'm beatable.
We could do it on air if you want.
You want to do it on the air?
Sure.
All right. We'll do that as well. Okay. Puts you under a little bit of extra pressure. All right. So we'll start at the bottom. We have two teams. The two teams that we had tied at the bottom of our power rankings going into the 2015 season. Yeah. Are the two coaches that we have tied at the bottom here, where I have Mike Mularkey 32 and Gus Bradley 31. You have it the reverse. So let's start with Gus Bradley first, even though he clearly is not going to lose his job until after this season.
Well, not clearly. I think if they continue losing, you could make a case to fire him with a couple weeks to go. But I don't think the losing will continue. They should have, but they shouldn't have because it rarely helps to fire your coach in season. But at a certain point, you have to give him a pass for this game. I watched a lot of the end of the Jaguars Chiefs. I feel really bad for him because other than the fumbles, they played a really solid game against a competent Chiefs team. On a play-to-play basis, they were definitely the better team. Like, they totally shut down the Chiefs running game. Foles didn't really do anything. They really ran the ball at will on the Chiefs. Bortles threw his pick, but he was, you know, he got better as the game went on, as he tends to do, as the stakes get a little more meaningless.
Yeah.
But no, it was still a close game. Like, he had some competent throws. I felt, you know, the Ivory fumble is absurd into the end zone. The Yeldon fumble was very frustrating in their own end. I felt really bad for him. You could see on his face, like, He was just helpless. Like he put everything into trying to squeeze out that win against the Chiefs, and like the universe just, you know, was not on his side.
If you're a Jaguars fan, though, you got to be so frustrated because this division has been so bad for the last 2 years.
Yeah, it's so. I mean, it's just so for the taking.
And yeah, then you, exactly.
And then you watch Indianapolis go into Green Bay last night, when you're like, oh, we're not on the same planet as that team.
Well, I mean, okay, the Colts had a good game, but the Colts have also looked abysmal in lots of games this season.
Yes, sure.
So, yeah. All right, so we'll do the line. So Houston going into Jacksonville.
Ooh, that's not a Color Rush Thursday night game?
No, we have a worse game Thursday. We have Cleveland and Baltimore.
Oh, my God. Houston.
At Jacksonville.
Jacksonville. I'm going to say Houston is a one-point favorite.
So you got that one exactly right. Congratulations.
Wow. Wow.
I had pick them, so I had pretty close.
Yeah, that's you could make a case for Jacksonville being favored. Anything in the negative one to plus one makes sense there. Yeah.
All right, so Akiva takes a 1-0 lead on me. You Ooh. Haven't won yet this year.
So I have not won. I have not won, but I'm cheating now, so let's keep it up.
All right. Okay. All right. So then, and then of course, we have Mike Mularkey. It's funny that I have Mike Mularkey is the worst coach of football when he has a team in that same division that looks pretty competent that could make the playoffs. You know, they're 4-5, tied with the Colts, a game and a half behind Houston. They have the best point differential in the division. They went into San Diego, a pretty good team, yesterday, and they had a very entertaining game. Mariota looks to be pretty good, actually. Their defense is not bad. Their offense is not bad. Tennessee's not a bad team, but I have zero confidence in Mike Mularkey, and I still think they need another coach. And obviously, you agree because you have him at number 31.
I mean, Mularkey went 9-7 his first year with the Bills, and he's now 13-37 since then.
Yeah.
That's really bad. He's never made it. Coaches almost always make it to year three. Like, year three is generally like if you haven't done anything, your make or break year in the NFL. Do you agree?
Yeah. Yeah,
he's never made it to year three, and he's probably not gonna unless they win some games in November, December.
But he got the Titans job, which is even weirder.
Yeah, but that's a team with a messy ownership situation right now, right?
Yeah.
I feel bad for him. We've seen Mariota sort of regress / flatten out this year, and he made like a really bad throw yesterday. And it's like, how is he still doing this stuff? The defense is terrible. The offense is inconsistent. Like, they don't have a lot of weapons, at receiver, obviously. We've gone over that. But I just, we need to see more out of Mariota. The whole Mariota and Winston thing is really troubling because we thought those would become like the two new stars in the league and just hasn't happened. Although,
Mariota's been pretty good. I disagree. I like him, especially the last few weeks.
I mean, maybe he's just stuck on like sort of a crappy team. But, yeah. I mean, it would be nice for Mularkey, I guess, if you're like in Mularkey's family and you care about him. It would be nice, like, they string together some AFC South wins, they definitely can win this division. Like, the Texans are a paper Tiger 5-3 who have, you know, five home wins already. So that and they have, a negative 30 point differential, the Texans. Like, they're falling back down to 8-8 at worst.
Yeah. Well, Tennessee's hosting the Packers this week. What do you have for a line there as Green Bay goes into Tennessee?
That's tough. That line would have been much higher 24 hours ago.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Packers by 4.
By 4. All right, so I get this one. It's 2. I said 2.5.
Wow, that's a very low. I mean, that line would have been 7 if the Packers played well on Sunday.
I don't know. In Tennessee, maybe. Yeah, I don't know.
It would have been if they played well. I mean, yeah. We don't know what to do with the Packers. They're so weird.
Yeah. I mean, that's true of every team in the league other than the Patriots and I guess the Cowboys now.
Yeah. I mean, did you have fun, like, other than the fact that your team had an abysmal, like, you know, like, life-ruining loss yesterday? Was it fun watching the games yesterday? Did you think it was a good slate of games?
I was very depressed. The Vikings, my fantasy team, you know, as I think I told you, I made four trades in the course of 2 hours on Thursday morning in my fantasy league. I traded about half my team. And if I had kept my original roster, I would have had the highest scoring week in the league. I would have had about 145 points and would have won easily. As it is right now, I have 82 points, and I'm going to lose to the worst team in the league and pretty much drop out of the playoff race unless I get 28 points from Russell Wilson today. So I was really depressed about fantasy. I was depressed about the Vikings. I was depressed about the stupid election. So I did not have a good day. But I'm not blaming the games, except for the ones.
All right, no one wants to hear about your fantasy team, Chester.
All right. Well, but I'm just that's why I was in a shitty mood. All right. Okay. So the next.
It is really funny. Like when your team loses, it doesn't matter. Like not the world is just terrible until about Monday.
Exactly. All right, so next coach on our list is a newbie, but he's not a guy that we're giving much confidence or hope in. That's Dirk Cutter. I have him at 29. You have him at 30.
Yeah, again, Winston has really regressed. The defense is atrocious. He's not a write-off. There's only two write-offs that, like, well, you could argue Jeff Fisher is a write-off in that he has no ceiling. But, like, Bradley and Mularkey are write-offs. Like, they will never be good coaches. They're never going to have another chance to coach again. You could say, like, we know Rex Ryan's ceiling, or maybe we know, like, Chuck Pagano's ceiling. You know, Marvin Lewis's. There are definitely older coaches who we know, like, but that, you know, they're never going to be like some superstar coach. But, you know.
They could get a team to 9-7.
Yeah, they could get a team to 9-7.
You don't even know if Dirk Cutter can do that yet.
No. I mean, but in theory, he could get a team to 14-2, but he's shown nothing of that capability so far.
Yeah, you know, look how this team has regressed. In week one, they went into Atlanta and won. And then this week, they hosted Atlanta and got destroyed.
Yeah.
Their defense is terrible, as you said. They really don't have very much else going for them.
All right, I mean, but the thing is there, like, some of these teams I think about, like, it's hard to gauge, say, Chuck Pagano on the Colts because he's got a really good quarterback, but he's got nothing else. Like, some of these teams, you know, maybe Mularkey's a decent coach, but that team kind of stinks. Is the Tampa defense...
I disagree. I think Tennessee's a good team. I think Tennessee's defense is okay. I think Mariota is promising. I think their offensive line is good. I think their running game is good.
So then the problem is Mularkey. Okay, fine. But with Tampa, like, I don't know if there's enough talent. Like, yeah, they have Mike Evans. They're on their 14th running back.
There's enough talent for you to pick them to, you know, to win a playoff game in the preseason.
Okay, but I'm not like, you know, the fortune teller. I'm dumb. Like, I was wrong.
Well, Bill Simmons, I mean, a lot of people did.
Speaking of Bill Simmons, you know, we should talk about that for a second. Any Given Wednesday got canceled.
I was surprised how many people either on Twitter or email or WhatsApp messaged me.
Yeah.
Said that who had actually watched every episode. We had a few listeners. People want to come on to discuss it. So why don't we wait until the final episode?
No, we're not going to. This is the last time it's being discussed, buddy.
Oh, because I was going to say we had one of our.
I think more people listen to this podcast than watch that show. Why would we discuss it?
I don't know, because people said they wanted to come on the podcast.
First of all, you keep getting these messages. No one sends them to me. I feel very left out.
I know. I think a couple of the tweets mentioned you.
Okay,
as well.
No, but I did get a bunch of tweets. But the first email after I came back from like 24 hours offline was from you, a big email like Simmons, Any Given Wednesday cancel or whatever. But here's the show wasn't good. I wanted to succeed. I don't root against Simmons like a lot of jealous people do. But the show, like, it should never have looked like that. It should have been something much different.
The best part of the show was that sometimes he'd have these like prepared little 4-minute like clips, but those were okay. I mean, you see,
no, they weren't great. I would never like send you them if I didn't think you were watching. You know, they were never that good.
You see better things in sports on every week, but that was the best part because the rest of it was just these 5-minute conversations, which were worse versions. Like, his podcast is an hour. You get into
right. It's a bad version of the podcast, until he got suspended, he did that thing with Jalen where they counted down the basketball teams, and it was pretty heavily produced for YouTube content, and that was really good. But the problem was, like, he wasn't getting paid $7 million a year or maybe more to do that. So the bar was very low. Like, they had 200,000 people watch each one on YouTube or 150,000, and they were considered, like, a great success because anyone who watched them really liked them. The problem, you know, but they didn't need to get... It's funny because the same, you know, you get the same 200,000 on HBO or 225,000, you know, and it's like, okay, maybe the show doesn't get canceled, but on YouTube, you know, that's a success. But they're doing it like for a shoestring budget. He should have started the show on like HBO 4.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like worked on it for a year. And then if it was good, bring it up.
But HBO really pushed it hard. I mean, you go to HBO Go, it'd be the first thing on the website, you know, on Wednesday.
Yeah, but and also like, you know, I think the guy who greenlit the show got fired, which is never a good sign also. But the
thing is, the shtick of his show was that he's going to bring two different guests on at the same time from different worlds and see them interact.
Yeah.
And the only one that I thought had any success whatsoever was when he had Mark Cuban and Malcolm Gladwell. Because Gladwell was unafraid to say things that were interesting and that were challenging to Cuban. The other guests, celebrities and athletes, are never going to say anything controversial.
Of course not.
Yeah, so it was completely bland and boring.
Even if he could literally handpick the celebrities every week from anyone in the country, this show still would not have been good. Even if he could get like, I'm going to have Tom Cruise and Obama, that would have gotten like 300, that literally would have had like 300,000 viewers instead of 200,000. Like, it just wasn't an interesting premise.
Yeah.
Well, it would be if people were going to say something honest or interesting, but they didn't. So
right, and then he does things like he doesn't ask Aaron Rodgers about his brother when his brother was like, you know, the star of the number one show on television at the time.
He would avoid interesting conversations.
Sure. Yeah. And there was another one like that I'm forgetting now where it was like, there's only one question to ask and he didn't ask. Oh, Chris Bosh. He didn't ask him about his health.
Yeah.
Didn't ask him like, are you playing this season?
And in both cases, he sort of defended it after the fact.
Yeah.
Asking on the podcast, he's like, oh, I'm not going to ask them because they don't want to be asked that. Well, then why? We don't want to watch it then. Like, that's right. The reason you have the
and
show.
And by the way, I don't think he'll do this. And this is, I sure assume you're going to push this out today on Monday, but he usually does the podcast, which we both love. Like we love the Bill and Cousin Sal podcast.
Yeah.
And that's if he doesn't do that today, he's a big chicken and a coward.
Yeah. I mean, I think
I will lose respect for him. If he doesn't publish that podcast today,
you thought he wasn't going to.
Well, he's like an only child whiny baby that, like, if he doesn't get his way, he, like, crawls into a hole for, like, 3 months.
Yeah.
He should go out and make The Ringer decent, because The Ringer isn't great.
The Ringer is terrible. He's got nothing going for right now.
Well, the Ringer should...
HBO said he's going to make some documentaries for them or something.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll get their $20 million worth from those documentaries.
Yeah, that was a great, great contract.
They should make him, like, for $20 million, like, I don't know how guaranteed they are. I don't know if this is more like the NFL or Major League Baseball. But they should make him like come in every day and answer the phones for $20 million, you know?
It's a contract that made no sense at the time.
Right. What were they gonna do? Like, what was best case scenario for that show? It was gonna have like Game of Thrones numbers? Like Bill Simmons talking to like random dudes about sports for a half hour?
I don't know. I mean, Bill Maher keeps chugging along on that network. Maybe, you know, John Oliver. I guess they thought the best case scenario could become like one of those. I don't know. I guess. It got big names. You know, the guests were big names generally. But again,
yeah, he probably got like the people he wanted.
And it still wasn't any good. Yeah. All right. This is enough conversation about that show. So the Bears this week are going into Tampa Bay. What do you think the line is there? Does Tampa Bay host the Bears?
Oof. I'd say Tampa Bay by 2.
Wow. Okay. So you got this one also. And I guess that's all the indictment you need of Dirk Koetter, that they're hosting the Bears and that they're being favored less than 3.
Well, I just think it should basically be a pick'em, because what do you think? There's like a vaunted home field advantage for the Bucks, and both those teams are sort of equally bad right now. Like the Bears looked better under Cutler. If you know, they had looked bad last time, then the spread would be like 4.
Whatever. All right. So yeah. So I guess
we react to one game all the time.
Yeah, I guess 3.5, because I thought Tampa was a little better than Chicago, but the line is 1.5. So you get that.
God,
one.
If I beat you, that would be amazing.
Yeah, you're up 2-1 on me. Yeah, maybe we should do it live every week. All right, so at number 29 on our coaches then is the aforementioned Jeff Fisher. We both have him at 28, but yeah, his average.
Talk about no upside.
Yeah. So yeah, that team's going to be 7-9 again, as per usual.
You ready for our weekly segment? How bad is Jared Goff?
Yeah. That's been aired this morning. Yeah, everybody's wondering where Jared Goff is. Unclear. You know, Case Keenum had been okay. Other than, you know, the 4-interception game in London, obviously. I don't know if it was his fault yesterday, but Carolina had, like, the worst pass defense in the NFL, and they scored one touchdown, you know, with a minute to go. So Jared Goff can't do worse than that.
Yeah, the Rams defense is playing really hard. Like, we knew the Rams defense was pretty competent.
Yeah.
Someone was saying to me, like, hey, when should the Jets start Bryce Petty? Because they have a bye after this week. They play the Rams, bye Patriots, and they're like, you know, maybe you don't start against the Patriots because it's bad for his confidence, but the Rams defense is better than the Patriots defense. So maybe you skip the Rams, you give him the bye to prepare, and then he gets killed against the Patriots with an extra week to prepare.
Yeah. All right. Well, what's your guess for that line as the Jets host the Rams this week?
Jets host the Rams. I think it should be Jets minus 3.
All right. So you take a 3-1 lead on me, Akiva.
What do you think it is?
I guess 1.5. I thought the Rams were better than the Jets, and it's 2.5.
Yeah, you know, this is, I guess, like the odds makers looking at the Jets and seeing they're 3-6 rather than looking at their DVOA and seeing that they're 31 or 32.
Yeah, I still I don't think the Jets are terrible.
They're not. They have a lot of pieces that a team like Cleveland or San Francisco does not have.
For sure. Oh, yeah. They're eons better than those teams.
But the problem is, like, they may fall apart. They're the oldest team in the NFL in years. So they have a lot of veterans who were already checked out. They're, two of their 3 stars, Wilkerson and Richardson, were benched for the first quarter. CBS didn't notice during the game. They didn't notice till the second quarter that the Jets' 2 best players, with Mangold out, the Jets' 2 best players were benched for the entire first quarter.
If we're going to complain about bad jobs by the announcers, just wait till we get to the Vikings game.
Yeah, but... So you, they're missing meetings, and there's a report that they always miss meetings, and they're always miss for meetings out today. So there's it's a possibility Bowles is losing the team a little bit. You have Fitzpatrick and Marshall, who are supposedly like brothers, on the sideline, like screaming at each other. It's going to get ugly. And if they lose to the Rams and the season's over, because teams think about like they're 3-6,
well, the season's over anyways. But you're just
I know, but in the team's mind, like you win this game 4-6, you're still in the playoff race.
Yeah,
but in reality, you know, you're 3-7 at the bye. The season's over.
Well, we forgot to pick winners and losers in the first four games.
Yeah, well, so. We're doing so many things. I don't even know if we need to do that.
All right, fine. We will. Let's
do a speed round at the end of winners and losers. Okay.
Okay, fine. We'll do a speed round at the end. All right. So that you already discussed Todd Bowles a little bit. We're not up to him. Next on our power rankings, we both have him at number 27, which means overall he's number 28 on our list. That's Mike McCoy of San Diego. San Diego's a team that I think San Diego's a top 10 team.
Talent-wise, you mean?
Yeah, well, no, even the way they've produced this year, you know, other than the last 2 minutes of a lot of these games, you know, because their division is the best division in football, it's so hard. They're 4-5, and I just can't see a way for them to make the playoffs. Because they'd have to leapfrog a minimum of one team in their division. And, you know, all those teams are 6-3 or better. So that's not going to happen.
No, the road is too tough. But they underachieve. And I think that's why we both have them so low down. Again, yeah. His ceiling is high enough that, they've outscored their opponents this year. Like, his ceiling is high enough that they could certainly move up the rankings. They've outscored every team in the NFL except Atlanta.
In my opinion of Mike McCoy is better now, for sure, than it was last year when they went 4-12. But he has to get some of the fault for their late game breakdowns that they've had in a bunch of these games. So, you know, although again they did win last week, they're still technically sticking around the race at 4-5.
But I guess my question would be like, how good is that defense? Like, why should the offense is great and he should get credit for it, but like, is there any talent on the defense that they like? I mean, the defense stinks, but is there any reason that it shouldn't stink?
Well, Joey Bosa is one of the best five
players. Okay, fine. But, you know, if you don't have a secondary, then your team sucks in the NFL.
Yeah, well, but maybe if he had played the first couple weeks, that, you know, a couple of those crazy losses might have been wins. And we'd be looking at this team a little bit
different. Yeah, Joey Bosa is like a 5-win player, sure.
Oh, he's incredible. He's, you know.
Yeah, he is really good, but, you know, he's one man.
San Diego hosting the Dolphins. What's your guess for this line?
I wasn't so impressed with the Dolphins. They did some weird things, like they didn't throw at Darrell Revis once the whole game. Which isn't really the trend this year. San Diego hosting them, that, you know, ooh, those are two teams with real vaunted home field advantages. A lot of Dolphins fans are going to travel to Miami for this, to San Diego for this one.
You always, the reason I beat you this every week is because you disregard home field advantage. It doesn't matter whether we think that team has good home field advantage or not. The way Vegas works is
I understand, but it's still funny that there's two teams
But the lines reflect home field advantage.
San Diego hosting Miami, San Diego by 2.5.
All right. So you take a 4-1 lead this week, Akiva.
What's the line?
The line is 3.5.
Yeah, I was going to say 3.
You think Miami's better? I had 5 because I think
Miami might be better.
I think San Diego's a really good team. I think Miami's a really bad team. So I had 5, but it's only 3.5.
I'm nervous about Miami's secondary a little bit, but their front 7 is ferocious. Like, Sue and Wake are really a nightmare to play against. Their offensive line is solid. Like, they have one good receiver, even though he didn't do anything yesterday. And now Ajayi can't be tackled. Like, you cannot tackle the guy right now. He's bowling over people.
Yeah, I did not appreciate that. Run against him in fantasy. You don't care to hear about that. So you have a 4-1 lead on me now. And Akiva, you look like you're headed for your first win of the year. The next coach on our list, who we've already discussed quite a bit, number 27, is Todd Bowles. I have him at 22. So
how do you pronounce his name? Bowles?
I don't know. You made fun of me for that last year also.
I don't even know. Like, it's Bowles. He doesn't speak, so it's hard to, like,
get. You have him at 29. I have him up at 22. You watch more of the Jets, so I should defer to you.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's unaware that you're allowed to challenge calls. He didn't use a timeout. He left the field without using one of his timeouts yesterday, which, you know, you don't really see often. It's pretty bizarre. You know, he's not in touch with the reality. He makes mistakes, and then he doesn't cop to them after the fact. I'd say every sort of prominent Jet fan on Twitter yesterday was very nervous. Like, I saw there was like 30 tweets that fired in from, like, you know, the guy who does the big lead and a bunch of different guys who were, you know, the new guy for the Ringer, Roger Sherman. Like, about, like, everyone is out on Todd Bowles. I think we've seen enough. I don't care that he went 10-6 last year. The problem is he went 10-6 last year. So if they go, you know, 6-10, usually 10-6, 6-10 gets you year three. And then next year is a waste because Bowles is incompetent and he's losing the team. So
sometimes when you get that lucky 10-6, you don't deserve, like Raheem Morris had in his first year.
Yeah.
It's bad because it sets out expectations too.
Totally
high.
Bad. And it's bad for the franchise. It's good for Raheem Morris to go 10-6. It's bad.
Yeah,
for
all those dropped Fitzpatrick interceptions led the team to think maybe that Bowles and also that Fitzpatrick were better than they were.
Totally. And to me, I'm mark this down. Bowles gets fired in October of next season when the Jets are 0-6.
All right. Okay. Well, yeah, they almost, what were they, 1-5 this year they started? And so, all right. Next on our list, taking a leap up at number 26, we have Jim Caldwell. I have him down at 30. I've seen all I need to see of him. You have him at 15. So you like Caldwell.
No, I don't like Caldwell. It's just every coach sucks under like 12. They're all equally terrible. I wouldn't hire any of these clowns. I mean, to me, Caldwell's like been competent in two different places. Like, you sort of liked some of the things they did last year. I think he's got the offense and defense in decent places. You know, Stafford has taken a step up under him. He's showing emotion for the first time ever. Maybe he's improving as a coach. So.
I'll say this. We have him much, much lower than Mike Zimmer on this list. He outcoached Mike Zimmer yesterday. He did not make any glaring errors, and Mike Zimmer made several in the last couple of minutes of the game.
Well, listen, the Vikings are a team that fired or lost their offensive coordinator during the week. You know, it's
But the mistakes that Zimmer made were clock management, basic strategy mistakes, and nothing to do with the offense.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Fired their offensive coordinator. So we'll get to that. I'll rant about that later. Mm-hmm. But so that's where we have Caldwell. The Detroit Lions are now on a bye this week. And, I mean, they're not out of it. They're 5-4, and they're ahead of the Packers. And if the Vikings lose to Washington next week, they would Detroit would move up into first place in this division.
Yeah, Detroit is a competent team that seems to play a lot of exciting games. They're going to be fun to watch down the stretch.
This team lost at home to Tennessee.
They play both sides of the ball. Like, they're every team in the league this year is like a great offensive team that can't play defense, like the San Diego or Atlanta, or a great defensive team like Minnesota. Teams like the Vikings or the Texans. Or the Seahawks, who, you know, their offense is inept, but their defense is lights out. And the Detroit does both, so who knows? They could win a playoff game.
Yeah, I mean, I still don't think they're making the playoffs, but if they keep getting wins like last week, maybe they will. All right, we'll see. Tied at 22.5, which means tied at 25th overall in our rankings. We actually have a three-way tie, so it's Caldwell number one. And then next we have Ben McAdoo. So I have McAdoo at 24. You have him at 21.
Not much to say about McAdoo other than Mike Lombardi absolutely detests him. There's clearly some behind-the-scenes thing. Mike Lombardi's very petty, and he probably hates his agent or something like that because he took a shot at his agent yesterday on Twitter. And he always talks about how he's like his play call. He has too many plays on his play, like as if that's a bad thing.
Yeah, I know.
You should only have like 8 plays on your playbook. Everyone knows that.
All the time.
Yeah. All the time. And then on Twitter, he does it like 40 times a day. So Lombardi says he's inept. I'm assuming McAdoo is like the second coming of Bill Belichick.
Yeah, I mean,
that's literally everything Lombardi says is wrong.
Yeah. You know, the Giants, they moved up in the standings on their bye week in week 8, thanks to a tie from Washington and a loss from the Eagles. And then this week they beat the Eagles at home. So all of a sudden, you know, they are in second place in that division and they look at the halfway point like they could be in position for a wild card. But I still probably think the Giants are probably the worst team in that division based on
talent. Might be. Yeah, they really might be based on talent. The thing is they have an equalizer in like if Beckham shows up one, you know, in a game and the team can't cover him, like he could win a game by himself.
Yeah, so we have a really good game next week, I think, on Monday night. Cincinnati at the Giants.
Yeah, it's an excellent game, honestly. I mean, we're both, I think, down on Cincinnati. I think everyone's down on Cincinnati, but that division is so open for the taking right now with the way Pittsburgh is playing and like Ben's health being questionable.
I'm picking the Bengals to win that division.
They just haven't shown anything this year. Like on talent, they're probably, you know, they're definitely a playoff team. But you know, show me something. Go into New York and win that game.
All right, so I got this line exactly. Cincinnati at the Giants.
I'm going to say, this is tough. I'm going to say Giants by 2.5.
Oh, wow. Akiva.
Yeah.
You got it exactly as well.
It's funny because when I email it to you, it's like I do the whole thing in under 20 seconds. Now that I like give it a shot, that's amazing. But I mean, you could say 3, but I think people know the Giants really have kind of overachieved the last couple weeks.
All right. So it's 5-2 now, including ties.
Oh, my God. This is very exciting. My Cleveland Browns. I'm gonna have a horrifying like last few games and lose.
Yeah, let's see if you can get your first win of the year. You're 0-9. All right, and then the third team I promised that, or the third coach that we have tied at 22.5, which means tied at 24th. It's Jim Caldwell. It's Ben McAdoo, and then Caldwell, you have pretty high, and I have pretty low. And then this last one is the opposite. Is Gruden, Jay Gruden. I have at 19. I don't love Jay Gruden, but you know, he won the division last year. He's actually demonstrated something which a lot of these guys haven't. But
yeah, maybe Gruden's bad. I was just annoyed that he said he didn't know that there could be ties in football, so I knocked him down a few pegs.
Yeah, that's bad for a head coach.
A head coach should know. It's okay when the quarterback, like when Donovan McNabb doesn't know. Okay, fine. What is he? You know, ultimately it doesn't matter. But if Jay Gruden doesn't know that, it's not great. I'm not sure. Jay Gruden, the jury's still out a little bit. I don't like him. I don't think the players like him so much. They're similar to Detroit, in which their offense and defense are both competent, and in 2016, that means you're in every game, basically.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, that's fine. I think Washington and Detroit are very similar teams. We saw that when they played each other, actually.
Yeah.
So the pressure's still on you, because this is a game I got exactly right again. Minnesota Vikings at Washington in Week 10. What's the line?
Oh, I mean, it's so hard, because your team is reeling. I'm going to say Redskins by 2.
All right, so I'm going to get that one. It's 2.5.
Oh, even the ones I'm missing, I'm coming really close.
Yeah.
You guessed that line exactly?
Yeah, I got 2.5. I got 3 games exactly. The last 2 we did, and then one more to come.
So Vegas is fleeing the Vikings.
Yeah, they should, frankly. We'll get to the Vikings.
Listen, you're never as bad. See, you're saying, what do you care about? One, we shouldn't put too much stock in the one game or 2 games, and then you're fleeing over. Your team is still allowed 126 points this season.
The defense is still really good.
Yeah, the defense, the defense could win you the division. Like, maybe a few weeks ago you were dreaming about the Super Bowl, and now maybe we have to temper those expectations, but,
But that's the reality. The injury, the ceiling for this Vikings team is 11-5 and a playoff loss.
Okay, fine. But I would, listen, I'd give, a pinky for that right now.
No, because there was so much more hope. All right, next on our list at 23 is Doug Peterson. You have him at 23. I have him at number 21. I don't like the hair and the hat combo that he has, the headband.
Right. I have very little to say about Peterson at this point in time, other than I'm, obviously encouraged by the early results. And
the bottom line is they're last place in the division now.
All right, that doesn't concern me so much.
They've been better than that, but They're it's going to be very difficult for them to make the playoffs.
Worst loss all season is a 7-point loss on the road. Can't get too mad at that.
Yeah. No, again, they've definitely been better than we thought.
All 4 of their wins are double-digit wins, including against the team that at the time was undefeated and considered number 1 and number 2 in the league.
Vikings or Pittsburgh or both, I guess.
The Vikings.
Both. Yeah. The Pittsburgh win was even more impressive.
Yeah, they destroyed he's done a good job this year. Rookie quarterback.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. Carson Wentz has really gone backwards the last. He had a good game, I guess, against the Cowboys, but he was bad last week. He was bad against the Vikings.
I don't know how Darren Sproles doesn't make like $10 million a year.
Yeah, he's had a good couple weeks.
He's really good.
So this is the third game in a row that I guessed exactly, and the last one I guessed exactly. So Atlanta at Philly this week. Where are you going to guess this line?
That's really tough. I'm going to say Philly by 2.5.
All right, so it's 1.5.
Ooh.
So your lead has evaporated. It's now 5-4. You're only up 1 on me. But again, I didn't get any of the other games exactly right, so you have some room for error.
Okay.
All right, next on our list we have tied with Doug Peterson is Hugh Jackson. His team is 0-9.
Yeah.
And I have him as the number 20 coach in the league. You have him at number 24.
I think a lot of his respect is coming from the Bengals sort of fell apart since he left.
Yeah, and he had that good start.
Who would be better than 1-8 with this team? I mean, this team is so bad.
Yeah, it's funny. We give him no blame whatsoever for this.
I think he just needs to win one game to get a second season. It's hard to bring back an 0-16 coach. It's definitely hard to bring back an 0-16 coach. That's what I think. But 1-15, I think, earns him a second season.
Are you making a prediction right now? Are the Browns going to win a game? Or are they going to go
0-16? Yeah, I think they'll win a game. They did something smart, which is they went back to Kessler. The problem is McCown is actually competent.
Kessler hasn't been bad, though.
No, but McCown is, decent. McCown is really, should be starting in the NFL.
All right, so where are you going to predict that win? It's at Baltimore, then at home for Pittsburgh, at home for the Giants, at home for the Bengals, and then at Buffalo, and then at home for San Diego, and then at Pittsburgh.
Oh, they could definitely beat Baltimore. They could definitely beat Buffalo. Pittsburgh has had a bunch of weeks this year where they haven't shown up at all, so who knows who's playing then. you know.
So they're going to go on the road and beat either the Ravens or the Steelers or the Bills.
Oh, the Ravens stink. I mean, the Jets went on the road and beat the Ravens.
No, though they beat them at home.
The
Jets won in New York.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. But the Ravens stink.
Okay, so let's discuss the game. This week, Thursday Night Football, another terrible game. Cleveland at Baltimore.
And it just came out in like the last few minutes that like the numbers for the ratings this week, even though it was a pretty solid week, the ratings were abysmal again.
Yeah.
I mean, forget about this Cleveland-Baltimore thing. No.
Yeah.
I mean, if Cleveland was 0-15, I think that's sort of like you watch because it's a train wreck.
But you just said you think they can go in Baltimore and win. So what's the spread here?
I don't think they will, but that's a winnable game.
All right.
I mean, the Ravens defense was incredible yesterday.
Yeah, they played well. But Roethlisberger, I don't know if he was injured or what, but he played.
So the game is in Baltimore?
In Baltimore.
That's tough. I'm going to say Baltimore by 7.
Okay, so I get this one, and now we're tied 5-5. The line is 10.
Oh, my gosh.
I guess 9.5.
And Baltimore can't beat anybody by 10.
Yeah, but the Browns are really bad, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so 5-5. Your early lead has evaporated, Akiva. I'm sorry to tell you.
It's okay.
And we are up to our number 21 coach. Rex Ryan, sexy Rexy. I have him at 25. I've seen all I need to see from Rex Ryan. You have him at number 18. You pine for the days when Rex Ryan was your coach in New York.
No, I hated Rex. He's an idiot. I mean, the team never really fell apart under him. Ask me in a few weeks if I pine for the days of Rex, but they needed to get rid of Rex.
All right, and we're saying this, obviously, we don't know what they're going to do yet tonight against Seattle. Hopefully, 300 yards and 4 touchdowns for Russell Wilson. That's what I'm hoping for.
As long as Tyrod Taylor, I need like 100 yards from Tyrod Taylor. That's all I need.
Okay, fine. So let's just have a high scoring game for both teams. That'll be good for both of us. All right, Buffalo's on a bye next week, so no line to guess there. Next is another coach that we are pretty divided on. That's at number 20 with an average ranking of 20. It's Chuck Pagano, but you have him all the way up at 14, and I have him down at 26.
Yeah, because I think the team stinks. I think Pagano's a decent coach with a bad team.
He's made so many mistakes.
Yeah. I mean, again, this is like the garbage division still.
Yeah. Well, the problem is when half the coaches in the garbage division. What does that say? Because it can't be that coaches are less intelligent than they used to be. The job is harder for sure.
Yeah.
But I think – so what's the explanation for why there's so many bad coaches? Is this job just too difficult?
I'm not sure. I do think you should take away certain things from a lot of coaches. Like coaches should man up and – be willing to like make, you know, the offensive coordinator or like the special teams coordinator like in charge of timeouts or clock management or replays or something.
What about the buck stops here? You wouldn't like a president who blames his assistants for screw ups.
Yeah, but we don't watch who's making the decisions. Like the problem is the coach is so naked on the sidelines. Like you have to make snap decisions in a second. President could have 15 people around him giving him good ideas, and then he just, you know, picks the best one. It's like Family Feud.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy, but I still think to this day, and I'm thinking, of course, about the fact that in Denver, because of the injury that Wade Phillips suffered last week, this week he was up in the booth. And it's so weird to me that offensive defense coordinators have two options, and they're both so completely opposite, and there's such a split. Like, half of them are up, you know, in the box, and half of them are on the sideline.
Yeah, someone should do a study, like, which one. I'm sure, like, one is way better than the other one statistically.
Well, I think from what I've read, it makes much more sense to be up in the booth because you can actually see the whole field and you have a much better perception than you do on the sideline, but it's harder to communicate with your players. So I think it has to do with, are you more of a strategy guy or more of an emotional rah-rah guy?
Right, maybe. And do you have a linebacker's coach or something that
who can
you...
be the rah-rah guy for you.
Yeah, yeah, or that you trust on the sideline to like the
Norv Turner was a guy in the box. He was replaced by Pat Shurmur, who was a guy in the field this week, and the Vikings offense looked just as... equally mediocre, so I have no opinion about which one's better this week. But all right, so that's Chuck Pagano. Yeah, so they went into Green Bay, obviously big win. Who knows what the hell's going on with the Colts? And it wasn't even like Andrew Luck had a great game. Andrew Luck had sort of a mediocre game.
Yeah, I mean they were able to run the ball and they were able to shut down Rodgers part of the night
for a touchdown. And
yeah, I mean that really set the tone. It was 7-0 before the game started.
All right, so they're on a bye now, but we'll see what happens coming out of the bye for the Colts. Next,
I mean right now, gun to your head, who wins that division? The Colts.
Yeah, I'm going to say the Colts are going to get 8-8. I think they're going to do it. Yeah, I just don't buy Houston. All right. Bill O'Brien's our next coach, number 19.
Speaking of Houston, he stinks.
You have him at 20.
He could be 32. He stinks.
Yeah, you really liked him last year on Hard Knocks.
Yeah, my love affair with Bill O'Brien is over. I mean, I guess it's hard. Like, he's saddled with maybe the worst quarterback. So what are you going to do?
Well, they just gave the guy $17 million a year. So
Right. Bad quarterback, and by far the best player on the team is out for the year. So,
all right, here's
the
guy.
I mean, if that team makes the playoffs, they will, I say this every week, they will ruin a playoff game because they're going to get annihilated.
Oh, yeah, every year. It's Cincinnati and
yeah, but
Houston.
But Indianapolis will give someone a game, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, no, that's true. I agree with you. We would much rather watch Andrew Luck hosting a team
in Saturday. Colts Raiders, Colts Broncos, that's a fun game. You know, agreed. Texans Broncos, Osweiler versus Simeon is beyond unwatchable.
Yeah, no, 100% agree. All right, number 18 on our list, the biggest disagreement we have on any coach, Chip Kelly. You have Chip Kelly down at 25. I have Chip Kelly all the way up at number 11. Obviously not based on this year.
I mean, Kelly's leaving. I think he's going to go. Because if you're Chip Kelly, this is your second job. You're not going to get a third job unless you win. And you're not going to win.
He's still, did you see like that holding thing he did yet? Like he's still really smart. He's abrasive.
No, I think he's a good, obviously he's an amazing football mind. If I was him, I would leave and I would take a college coach. I would take a college job. He might be able to get the Oregon job again.
That's what, he's going to go back to Oregon.
Why not? And make a ton of money.
That would be seen as such a failure. At least he's got to go somewhere else.
Or take another big job. To me, he's not going to get fired after 1 year. Obviously, he's got a big contract. But this team stinks. And unless they get like the number two pick in the draft and there's two quarterbacks available because the Browns are going to get the first one, there's just no reason to keep this gig. So, yeah. I shouldn't affect his ranking, but he might have his head halfway at the door. I mean, what's his name was at the game this week? Phil Knight, who's Mr. Oregon, was a guest of Chip Kelly. So,
you think that's why he was there?
I mean, they might just be friends, but
yeah, I don't know.
Possible.
All right. Okay, so this week San Francisco goes into Arizona. What's your guess for that line? We're tied 5-5 right now.
Arizona minus 7.
7? Boy, I was 11 and I was way too low. It's 13.
Yeah.
7?
Yeah, I was too low. I apologize. I was going to say 7.5, but I still
won. You want me to give you 7? I'm going to give you 7.5.
No, give me 7. I don't want to know your pity points. We just haven't had a lot of spreads above like 7.5 until.
Well, 13 is the biggest spread we've had in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, weeks.
So I take a 6-5 lead on you now, and pressure's on. You got 4 games left.
So now, defend Chip Kelly. He's a 13-point underdog against a team with a losing record this week. I mean, I take it back. He sucks, and you could fire him.
Well, but Arizona destroyed Tampa Bay.
No, Arizona is like the best 3-4-1 team of all time. I think that's Cousin Sal made that joke this week. But they're really good, Arizona. Like if they make the playoffs, which is hard at 3-4-1, they could win a playoff game.
Yeah. All right.
They're the most impressive team. As a Jeff fan, we've played a lot of good teams. We haven't played the Patriots yet. They're the most impressive team I've seen all year. If Palmer's a B+, like that team is really solid.
Yeah. They probably have the best running back in football.
Yeah.
They have great receivers, great defense. Not as good as last year, obviously. All right. Number 17 on the list is a coach who's been around forever and has been sort of stuck in this mediocre position forever. That's Jason Garrett. A little bit of disagreement on him. You have him at number 12. I have him at number 23.
Yeah, that's way too low on Garrett.
I'm not judging based on this year. I'm judging based on the breadth of his performance, which is that they've, they've won a single playoff game.
I mean, has he lost Romo for like an entire season twice, basically?
I mean, they've been better this year. Like they couldn't have been, they wouldn't have been any better than they are without Romo. So, or you're saying that's credit for Garrett this year?
I mean, to me, you're a little too harsh on him.
Maybe 23 is a little bit too low, but it's
23
is
insane.
I have him below guys like Doug Peterson, Hugh Jackson, Todd Bowles, because I don't know.
Okay, fine. Maybe. So Garrett isn't like the next Bill Belichick already.
Exactly.
Okay, fine.
It's sort of the way I know that a movie is going to be and there's another movie I don't know what it is coming in, and maybe it'll be really good, maybe it'll be terrible. So, Jason Garrett, the Dallas Cowboys are not going to win a Super Bowl.
Do we have to turn this podcast into two parts? Because it's taking a really long time.
What are we at? We're 45 minutes in, and we're only halfway done. All right, so let's pick up the pace a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Number 16, Dan Quinn. We forgot that we got to do the line. Dallas at Pittsburgh this week. That's a great game.
Yeah, it is a great game. I'm going to say, could there even be a line, like, without knowing? I mean, Roethlisberger's going to play, I guess, so.
Yeah, I mean, he played last week.
So. Yeah, but I'm going to say Dallas by 1.
Okay, so I got this one, and your early lead is evaporating. I said Pittsburgh by 1.5. It's Pittsburgh by 2.5.
Too much respect for Pittsburgh. Too much. This team lost to the Ravens. They lost 34-3 to the Eagles. Come on.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, Kiva, sorry to tell you, but your lead is evaporating now.
What's the score? I think it's evaporated.
Yeah, it's 7-5 now, your lead.
Oh, I still lead?
No, 7-5, my lead. Excuse me.
Oh, okay.
It was 5-2. I've now beaten you in five consecutive games.
Okay, fine. Comeback time. Let's go.
Okay. So number 16, Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn, who I made fun of you last year because we did this when the Falcons were 6-0 when you were all about Dan Quinn. This year, I'm actually higher. I have him at number 15. You have him at number 17. So we basically are both in agreement that Dan Quinn's team's been about 500 so far with him as coach, and so we think that's where we have him at. He has potential, but let's see him finish the season first, right?
Yes. I mean, I was super high on him last year, and you know, now I think it's been justified this year, even though I jumped off the bandwagon. That team, could the Falcons be in the Super Bowl this year?
You know, I'm the highest of them I've been all year. I moved them up to 7 in my power rankings.
So you're saying yes, they could make the Super Bowl?
Well, I have them behind only Dallas and Seattle in the NFC, so I guess anything is possible.
Yeah.
Their defense still isn't good.
You couldn't see Atlanta going to Dallas NFC Championship game and, like, Ryan flinging the ball all over the place?
Hey, they're scoring 40 points a game right now. So, yeah, I guess anything's possible. All right, tied with Dan Quinn at number 16. Great service you did to this man. Jack Del Rio, I have him at number 10. I think Jack Del Rio is a really good coach. You have him at number 22. So you hate Jack Del Rio.
I don't hate him. I actually liked him as a player. I think I had like a Jack Del Rio like figure or something.
When was he on the Cowboys or on the Vikings?
Vikings.
Okay.
So I had a Keith Millard figurehead, like a starting lineup figure.
Yeah.
Probably worth like $100 now.
Yeah, those things are popular. Like,
let's see how much a Keith Millard. Hold on. I'm checking eBay. Keith Millard.
You wanted to speed up the podcast.
Yeah, but this is important.
Yeah.
I would never sell. I've said this before, but I would never like sell anything on. That's my problem. Like, I don't want this stuff, but you know, I would never like actually go and sell something.
Well,
myself.
I tried to sell something once on eBay that I thought was worth a couple $100, and the stress was not worth whatever $200 benefit I was going to get in the end. In the end, I just gave it away to a friend of mine.
Yeah, spoiling like a true rich person. Keith Millard. It might not even exist. Maybe it's worth Keith Millard starting lineup. Oh, in the package, it's like just under $20. So not buying a summer home with that. Okay, good to know.
Unless it's in Detroit, I guess. Although I don't know why you want a summer home in Detroit. All right, so why do you object to it? I'm down number 22. You're not impressed with what the Raiders have done?
Yeah, no, he's definitely done a good job this year. But I didn't want to like go crazy just because he's won a few games. Like, they're going to regress. I think looking back now at his 9 seasons in Jacksonville. And it's insane, right? He very quietly got to 9 seasons in Jacksonville.
Yeah. What, they make the playoffs twice?
They made the playoffs twice. They lost the Patriots both times. One time they had a bye.
Not great, Bob.
After the first season, which wasn't good, 5-11, they went 9-7, 12-4, 8-8, 11-5, 5-11, 7-9, 8-8, and then they got fired when they were 3-8. With the Jaguars, considering they did nothing afterwards,
those numbers are pretty good.
Pretty good. Very respectable. Yeah. Essentially 500. No, you know, they didn't get a bye. They actually won a playoff game, and then they lost to the Patriots.
Pittsburgh, didn't they?
Yeah. I remember Wikipedia that doesn't say that here.
That was nobody cares about my gambling.
Yeah, so this season, he's actually 500 now as a coach.
Top 10, baby.
Yeah, that's good. I need to see a little more. Let me see him win a big game that's not, you know, November 6th or whatever.
All right, well, they're on a bye this week, so they're not winning any big games in week 10. All right, next on our list is John Fox, who, you know, he went to Super Bowl with the Broncos, came to the Bears and looked like a big upgrade for them. I have him at number 12 still. You're down at number 19.
Well, listen, we've seen this before. Sometimes a guy's second or third time out there just doesn't have it anymore.
Yeah.
I
thought he was going to be like Andy Reid and turn him around. You know, he was great in Carolina, got to Super Bowl. Great in Denver, got to Super Bowl. I thought he would do it for the Bears, but maybe I'm wrong.
I mean, Denver's a really, really smart organization, maybe the most forward-thinking organization. Almost every decision they've made has been correct, including
hiring Gary Kubiak was such a great decision.
You think it wasn't?
No.
They won the Super Bowl, dummy.
Yeah, I still think that Fox is a better coach than Kubiak.
Okay, well, right now, John Fox's corpse is a better coach than Kubiak? I mean, okay, when everyone thought they should pay Osweiler because they needed him, they said, oh, no, we know he sucks. And nobody else thought he sucked.
That was Kubiak's decision.
Here's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The Broncos are a smart organization, and they were smart enough to get rid of Fox at a time where they clearly could have kept him.
Yeah. All right, fine. I see what you're saying. I accept
that. Knowing that, you know, the same way maybe the Patriots knew when to cut bait with Revis.
Yeah.
The Broncos knew, like, okay, Fox is, you know, he's aging and this is a young man's game.
No, I understand what you're saying. All right. The biggest indictment we have of how bad NFL coaches are is the fact that this next man we have, you know, is an above average coach, and that's Marvin Lewis. You have him at 13. I have him at 17.
This is a lifetime achievement award. I mean, he sucks. You know, I hate him. He should have been fired 4 years ago. You know, listen, he loses this week. He's finally well on his way to being fired. But if he wins, they might make the playoffs. They might win the division, and he might somehow keep his job for an 80th year.
Kind of ridiculous. Yeah. All right. So Marvin Lewis, and then tied with Marvin Lewis at number 12, with an average of 15, is Adam Gase. Adam, I have him at 13. You have him at 16, which means my math is off. 14 and a half. Oh, so he's not tied. So Adam Gase is all alone in 12th place.
Yeah. I mean, Gase has a high ceiling. You know, I was I was not super impressed yesterday with their game plan. I mean, they won the game on special teams. You know, but ultimately, like, Tannehill's not great. So what are you going to do? And I think he's made a smart decision to really just ride Ajayi and sort of, you know, limit the damage that Ryan Tannehill could do. I don't know if they're going to turn away from Tannehill after this year, but I know they're going to try to. I'm not sure it's possible.
Yeah, I think it's very difficult when you have a quarterback who's not great. It's
I mean, look at the Bears with Jay Cutler.
Yeah.
I mean, look at you know, the Packers and Aaron Rodgers. They don't know what to do with him.
All right, so now let's get to a coach who's actually won a Super Bowl, and that's number 11 on our list. An average score of you have him at number 11, Mike McCarthy. I have him down at 16, just because his in-game management is so abysmal,
so bad, and now his out-of-game management sucks. Now, I mean,
yeah, and winning only one Super Bowl, I think, with Aaron Rodgers and all the weapons they've had there is probably a little bit of an indictment, actually.
Right, and maybe the window's over. I mean, I don't know if Rodgers is like physically declined to the point where he's not a winning championship just by being great player anymore. But, you know, you've seen the stats, like the Browns have more 300-yard passing games than Rodgers.
Yeah, and most of the coaches we have on this list going forward have won a Super Bowl. So we agree that Mike McCarthy is the worst Super Bowl winning coach active.
Yeah, until Tom Coughlin gets rehired, yeah.
All right, okay. Now we have a tie at number 9 on our list. At 9.5, we have Sean Payton, Super Bowl winning coach, and Gary Kubiak, Super Bowl winning coach. So Payton, well, let's do Kubiak first because we were discussing him a second ago. I have Kubiak down at 14. Which is probably a little bit too low, I guess, is what you would argue. You have Kubiak all the way number 5. So you think Kubiak is a fantastic, amazing coach.
Yeah, that may have been a little too high.
He's the defending Super Bowl champion. I got it.
I just, you know, I think he's making something out of nothing this year. Like,
nothing. I mean, their defense is historically good.
I mean, some of the credit has to go to him. And their quarterback is freaking Trevor Siemian. And their running back is like their 14th string running back.
Yeah,
and they're going to make the playoffs still. And you know, you look back to his time in Houston, and he sort of figured it out. Like, yes, he got fired when they fell apart in 2013, but he was winning playoff games the years before that. He even with the 2-11 record, he almost had a winning record in Houston, which similar to Jacksonville looks a lot more impressive with hindsight. Yeah. He's a good offensive mind, and he's been a good defensive coach. So.
Yeah. Well, he's dropped into third in his division right now. So this is a pretty important game. He goes into New Orleans. Defense gets offense. What's your guess for the line?
Where's this game?
In New Orleans. Denver at New Orleans.
Yeah, that's tough. I'm going to say New Orleans by 1.5.
Wow, you got it. Oh, it's 1. You almost had it exactly there.
Did I still win it, though?
Yeah, you creamy. I said Denver by 3. Now, I made this line before in the middle of the Sunday night game last night.
Yeah.
So I didn't know that the Broncos were going to lose yet. But I'm shocked that the Broncos are an underdog to the Saints.
Your life on the line, Drew Brees or Trevor Siemian?
My life on the line, that Denver Broncos defense or New Orleans, you know, everybody scores against New Orleans. But look, they just beat Seattle last time we saw them. And then
The Saints defense isn't as bad as it was last year.
Yeah, well, it's impossible to have been as bad as
right. I mean, it's horrible, but like, there's a lot of team. You know, they've given up as many points as the Jets.
All right, Akiva, you've pulled to within 7-6. So,
although actually in one less game, so I apologize to the Jets.
Yeah, so we have 2 games remaining. You could still possibly eke out a win here this week, or at least a tie. So you should be very excited. Okay, so that's Gary Kubiak, and then a tie to Gary Kubiak is Sean Payton. So they're playing each other, so that's convenient. So we'll see who's the better coach.
Yeah, I mean, Payton is the offensive Rex Ryan. Just it's better to be the offensive Rex Ryan than the defensive Rex Ryan.
But we both agree that Payton probably should leave New Orleans. He needs a fresh start somewhere.
Yeah, I don't even know if it's they should get rid of him as much as, yeah. I mean, it's hard to leave Drew Brees unless you're going to another coach. Like, if I'm him, I would be super psyched to take the Indianapolis job. The problem is if I'm Ursay, I can't take him unless I have like Rex Ryan as my defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
You know?
All right, so we got 8 coaches left. We just did 3 Super Bowl winning coaches in a row. Of our 8 coaches left, half of them have won the Super Bowl, half of them have not yet won the Super Bowl. So at number 8, we have Ron Rivera. I have him at 8, you have him at 9. Obviously, he's a little bit lower just because they've started the season a little bit cool, but it looks like they're heating up now when it matters. And, right, we both like Ron Rivera.
Yeah, I mean, they may have overachieved slightly last year, but, you know. I'm saying like that, you know, that was, but like he pulled some miracles out of his hat. Like they destroyed a good Cardinals team in the NFC Championship. Like let's give him some credit for that.
That offense had 50 touchdowns last year.
Yeah, let's give him some credit. And I think they are in position still to maybe make the playoffs. The problem is they're 0-3 in the division. So their path there is very complicated.
They lost at home to Tampa. All right. So this is a big game. I'm really excited. Kansas City at Carolina. Let's see what Akiva guesses for this.
That is a good game. That's actually a very good game.
Well, I'm just excited for you to guess the line, but it is.
I understand. But now my question is it probably going to be Foles or is Smith going to be back?
Oh, I assume it's Alex Smith.
Okay. Kansas City at Carolina. Carolina by 2.5.
Oh, I said 2.5 as well. You had a chance to get it if you would have said 3. So we're tied. We tie on that game, and I'm winning.
Had you said Foles, I would have probably pushed a 3, but the way you said it.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
All right, so
nice defense. You play defense.
I'm winning 8-7. If you get the last game, I think I'd win the tiebreaker because I'm fewer points off. But
there's no tiebreaker. We just tie. Is there a tiebreaker between Bill and Sal?
I mean, the way I do it, it's whoever's the least cumulative points off.
Oh, okay. It's nice to hear about this cheating rule that now that
it's something we have for 8 years.
Okay,
I've been doing me versus Bill versus Sal since 2000. All right. So last game of the week, we'll get to that. We still got to get to those coaches.
Yeah.
So next coach we have tied at 6th. We have Andy Reid, who we just discussed as Chiefs. You know, he's been around long enough that we know what his strengths and weaknesses are. I've always been more of a fan of Reid than you, but you're all the way up to number 7.
I've come around. I feel like I like the fact that they compete on offense and defense. I don't know why every like receiver that goes there just dies immediately, but that's another story.
All right, so I have Reid at 6, you have him at 7, and then reversed is John Harbaugh. You have him at 6, I have him at 7.
People are writing off Harbaugh. That team sucks. Like, there's nothing he should be doing with that team.
He was a top 5 coach until last year when they were 4-12.
The team's terrible. They should be 4-12.
All right, well,
they might end up 4-12. They just have to lose their last 8 for that.
You know, Tony Dungy said last night, and Tony Dungy
can't complete a pass.
Yeah, Tony Dungy's wrong about most things, but he thinks that the Ravens are going to win this division. Which to me is crazy talk. They're dramatically worse than Pittsburgh and Cincinnati.
I mean, if they win it, it's at 8-8. They're bad. Like we played the Ravens and the Browns in back to back weeks, and there was the only difference was that Josh McCown is more accurate than Joe Flacco.
I mean, Baltimore's defense is slightly better, but
yeah, Baltimore's defense obviously on its best day, like yesterday, is really good. But I don't know.
All right, okay, we're into the top 5 now. Number 5 with a bullet. I won't say where I want that bullet right now. Mike Zimmer. Mike Zimmer, so frustrating.
The reason I think you have to have him this high is because there's warts on the other coaches, but Zimmer doesn't have those warts yet. They're probably going to come, and maybe you're starting to see them as someone who's watching every play every week. But to me, from an outside perspective, he took a team last year and overachieved with them, and now.
Took a team with the worst defense in football, and they went from 3 wins to 7 wins to 11 wins. This year looked like they were going to get even more, and they have an elite defense.
And this is a write-off year, basically. This is a write-off season. And
so many injuries.
And they were 5-0. And now the injuries might be too much, and you're right. Maybe they'll end up 8-8, but there's really nothing.
So this is the situation. Yesterday's game, there's 27 seconds to go in the game. The Vikings have 3rd and goal from the 1. And they have an extra timeout to spare, by the way. So what do you do there? Obviously, what am I going to ask you? 3rd and goal from the 1. You're down 13-9 because your kicker has missed an extra point and a field goal and another field goal you didn't even let him try. And so you punted on a possession that started in the red zone. And another time you didn't even let him try a field goal. You went for it on 4th and inches. So it's your kicker's fault that you're losing this game. I understand that. But it's 13-9, 27 seconds to go, 3rd and goal from the 1. So you got 2 plays left. You got extra timeouts. What do you do with the clock?
I say this again.
27 seconds to go, 3rd and goal from the 1.
And how many timeouts does the other team have?
Detroit has no timeouts left. None.
So why do you kneel on the ball?
Well, no, you're losing 13-9.
Oh, you're losing 13-9.
You need to score a touchdown. But my point is, there's 27 seconds to go. You should let the clock run down to what, 15 seconds or so.
I'll tell you why it's a little tricky. One, even today, other than you, no one's going to criticize him for not doing that.
Oh no, everybody's criticizing for this.
If he waits till 15 seconds, and he throws a fade to some crappy receiver like Stephon Diggs in the corner, and he gets tackled by the Lions safety and they get a first down.
It's third and goal from the 1 yard line.
Listen to what I'm saying.
There's no first down to get. What are you talking about?
I said if there's a penalty on the Lions in the end zone and it's first down, and this has happened, I've seen it, and you say, oops, I wish I had that time, but I don't have that time now. It's essentially fourth down still, even though it's first down. You follow?
Well, hold on, because let's say you call a timeout about 15 seconds to go. Yeah. You run that fade. That happens. Now there's 10 seconds to go. You still have time for two more plays.
Okay, two plays instead of four. Like, to me, so many weird things can happen.
Okay, so the point is that, but also they know what their play call is, and their play call wasn't a fade. Their play call was a run, which is what they did. So they know their play call. So the point is that what the Vikings is, they call the timeout immediately with 27 seconds to go.
Yeah, but you don't know your fourth, that fourth down, there won't be a penalty is what I'm saying.
Okay, but anyway, so on third
down. You're like encouraging the Lions to hold, is what I'm
saying. Well, anyways, they call the timeout with 27 seconds to go. They scored on the next play on third and goal from the one, and so they gave Detroit the ball in the back with 23 seconds to go. Mm-hmm. So that's what most people are criticizing Zimmer for today, his clock management, that he gave Detroit 23 seconds.
Too much time.
Now, my criticism, which I haven't seen anywhere else, which is infuriating to me that it hasn't been discussed, because there is a possible defense for what Zimmer did, which is what you just said. You're assuming there's only two plays to go, but there could be a scenario where there could be more than two plays to go, possibly. Unlikely, you know you're running the ball, unlikely to have a defensive penalty, but possible. Fine. Unlikely to have a defense penalty that would cause an automatic first down, which would be defensive holding or pass interference, which can't really happen on a run. So extraordinarily unlikely, but possible. If the Vikings got stuffed there on fourth down, they might have tried to fade. You're right, that's possible. There's no possible justification for what he did next, which is, on the Vikings' extra point, there was a 15-yard penalty on the Lions. So the Vikings were kicking off from midfield now. They're kicking off from the 50-yard line, okay?
Mm-hmm.
23 seconds to go. Detroit has no timeouts remaining. Detroit's only possibility, their kickers already hit a 53-yard field goal in this game. Their kicker, it's indoors. Their kicker's competent like ours. You got to assume they need to get to about the 40-yard line to try like a 58-yard kick. Right?
Is it possible?
Yeah.
That he didn't trust the special teams coach doesn't trust Blair Walsh enough to do anything out of the norm. Because he's going to like kick it backwards or something.
Well, but Blair Walsh has been good on kickoffs. He's just bad on field goals.
Yeah, but now because there's no pressure, he just has to do what he has to do. Now creating variance in the scenario when Walsh is like kicking an onside kick 4 yards and then, you know.
So what Blair Walsh did is he kicked it, obviously easy to get a touchback from the 50-yard line. So they kicked a touchback, which meant Detroit got the ball at the 25-yard line with 23 seconds to go. First down, they gained 8 yards, went out of bounds. Second down, they gained 30 yards. They ran up, spiked the ball with 2 seconds to go.
And by the way, that first down play was like, it took a while, and it was a really ugly play, and that could have easily been a game ender, but yeah.
Yeah, but then second down, you let them get the ball 30 yards down the field, which is insane that the best defense in football is allowing this. And then
And by the way, there should definitely have been a penalty on Minnesota on that play.
For what?
If they don't get a playoff, I think the refs throw a flag. The Vikings defender did like the, I'm going to roll on this receiver until the referee like kicks me off.
Yeah, but everybody does that. That's
yeah, but that's a very clear delay of game penalty.
Anyway, the point is that Stafford runs up,
stops the clock.
Stafford runs the ball, runs up, spikes the ball with 2 seconds to go. They come out, they kick a 58-yard field goal, and then they win the toss.
By the way, you know what someone should do on a play like that?
Yeah.
Like, once Stafford throws the ball, everyone's looking at the receiver. And, like, Stafford's going to start running the second the play is over.
So hit Stafford?
Yeah, like, kick him in the balls.
No, because then you're going to get a 15-yard penalty.
If no one's watching, I'm saying.
The back
accidentally, like, step in front of Stafford. Don't let him run, you know? Get in his way. It's a good idea.
What I'm really pissed off about, which I haven't seen anywhere, is obviously what you should have done there you probably should have done it anyways from the 35, but all the more so, once you were in midfield, they should have done a pooch kick. First of all, you're going to pin Detroit much deeper than the 25-yard line. But
how do you know? You think Blair Walsh is the expert on pooch kicks? I mean, this is absurd.
The Vikings special teams has been very good this year.
Yeah, but talking about Blair Walsh. What's he doing? He can pinpoint the ball to the 11-yard line automatically?
I mean, most kickers can do that. But
well, here's the deal. Once you start putting it close to the end zone, the ball generally just ends up in the end zone and touchback anyway.
No, but that you kick it to the 15. But the most important...
But that's hard to automatically do. Sometimes when you try and kick to the 15, you kick it to the 25, and then some fat guy rumbles with it, and okay, maybe you're happy with that, but he gets to the 35 instead of the 25.
But that's fine, because we don't care about those 10 yards. What we care about is the clock.
Yeah, but they ended up kicking a 58-yarder, which, while it was great, like, the Lions would have much preferred to have a 48-yarder. So I don't... I hear what you're saying, but the more I hear from it, the less convinced I am that you're correct.
No time came off the clock on the kickoff. If 2 seconds had come off the clock on the kickoff, the game would have been over. Detroit spiked the ball with 2 seconds to go. They only had those 2 seconds because the Vikings gave them essentially a free timeout by taking no time off the clock on the kickoff. If you would have kicked off the ball into the field of play, Detroit would have had to have a return. Even if the guy would have knelt, that would have cost 1 second.
No, you could fair catch a kickoff and cost 0 seconds.
Yeah, okay, fine, that's true. But then that means that they're even further behind than the 25-yard line.
Well, you don't know that because you don't know where he's kicking the ball.
He's not going to kick. He's not going to get less than 25-yard kickoff. Come on, that's never happened in the history of the NFL on a non-onside kick.
Yeah, because anything he does is probably ending up in the end zone and costing 0 seconds. You have not convinced me that Blair Walsh, the least clutch person in the history of the NFL.
So your argument is that the worst case scenario will be the result of exactly what happened anyways.
No, the worst case scenario is Blair Walsh tries something cute in like kicking it to the corner where the kick returner isn't and kicks it out of bounds and the ball's at the 40.
You're not kicking it to the corner. You kick it right to the middle of the field.
Okay. What happens when you kick to the middle of the field? The ball's going out of bounds. It's a touchback.
Okay, fine. So the worst case
there's
scenario...
There's like a 3-in-10 scenario where it's better.
No, you're wrong. Midfield. There's no kicker in the NFL who would screw that up. And even if you think Blair Walsh is going to screw it up, okay, fine. So you tried something, and you screwed it up, and you ended up where you ended up with the same result.
And then, okay, so now instead of no one other than a random dude on a podcast criticizing you, everyone criticizes you for trying an onside kick or kicking the ball out of bounds or doing something stupid.
A regular kick high in the air, regular kickoff. Okay. What are you talking about? Everybody
literally
has said,
no one, all coaches do is coach not to get criticized. And that's exactly what Zimmer did. Because as you said, no one is criticizing him besides you whining all day about this.
The NFL changed their rules this year, right?
Yeah.
To move the touchback from the 20 to the 25 with the goal of having less kickoff returns. Mm-hmm. And what has actually happened? We've had more kickoff returns. Why? Mm. Because smart coaches, such as Bill Belichick and such as Mike Zimmer, usually have realized that because the touchback is giving extra yards, there's extra incentive to not touch it back. And they instruct their kickers, do not do touchbacks. Kick the ball between the 0 and the 10-yard line. That's what Mike Zimmer's been doing all year long with Blair Walsh. And Blair Walsh has been doing it well. That's what Tim Gostkowski's been doing all year long. That's what all the kickers are doing. That's when you're doing a regular kickoff from the 35. All the more so when you're kicking from midfield, it's even easier. The kicker has even more control. You get the ball high in the air. Your coverage guys get downfield. Blair Walsh has been doing this all season long on regular kickoffs. Even in regular scenarios, when a team is up in this situation, they do a squib kick. Why? Because they don't want to return for a touchdown. They want one of the big fat guys to pick up the ball and run. Right? Yeah. I mean, the Vikings screwed this up. Anyways, this podcast was supposed to get wrapped up. Instead, we spent 10 minutes.
If you're on Team Chester here and you think that they should have tried something with the worst kicker of all time. Hashtag Chester was right. And if you're on Team Friesen, hashtag Akiva was right.
Wait, you think I'm wrong here? You think they should not have done a squib kick or a pooch kick or anything other than a touchback? Is that what you're saying? I thought you just didn't care. You're saying you think you disagree with me. You think I'm wrong?
Mm.
You think Zimmer made the right decision?
I think I understand why it didn't occur to Zimmer or maybe Prefer or whoever's decision it was.
Wait, it didn't occur? Well, because they're not thinking. Well, because you're changing your... Before you said, well, I think they shouldn't do it because Blair Walsh is bad and it's going to screw things up.
Yeah, Blair Walsh is bad and is going to screw things up. And I didn't even mention... The fact that I don't know who the Lions kick returner is, but what do you kick the ball to him at the 10 instead of the goal line? And he, you know, busts one to midfield.
But you're missing the point because they're not kicking. This isn't a regular kickoff. This is a kickoff on the 50-yard line.
Okay, I know. Who's your magic kickoff going to?
In the history of the NFL, in the history of the NFL, has there ever been a kickoff return for a touchdown on a kick that took place after a personal foul call? In other words, when you got 15 extra yards.
Yeah, it might be making it easier because the line of protection is shorter. And while you have players more bunched in, once you get past them, it's smooth sailing the rest of the way.
No, because it's like a punt. It's not a kick anymore. It's a punt. It's in the air for so long that the whole defense is down.
Okay, but the team is used to one thing, and now they're doing a totally different thing.
This is what they've done all year. The Vikings always pooch it, like the Patriots, like most smart coaches. You're wrong.
That's they always pooch it from the 50. How many times have they kicked off from the 50 this year?
They've been intentionally not getting touchbacks all year long. Okay. They've always been pooching it. They've been telling Blair Walsh, don't get touchbacks.
All right, let's move on.
I think what you said is what probably would have happened if the Vikings had done the correct thing here is Detroit would have called a fair catch, just like on a punt.
We're assuming that players even know that's an option, but okay, keep going.
No, the returner knows he's allowed a fair catch.
Yeah, but you just said you're not kicking to the returner, dope.
What do you mean?
In this magic thing, you said you're not kicking to the returner. You said, yes, you did. You did say that.
No, you said who's the Lions returner. You said who's the Lions returner.
What's your ideal thing? You're kicking and the returner is catching the ball at the 1 yard line?
Well, that's the ideal, but
yeah, ideal. No, that's called a touchback.
No, not at the one. It's somewhere between the 5 and the 15, probably. Yes, it's like a punt. It's exactly like a punt. Okay. What the most likely outcome probably would have been what you said. He would have done a fair catch. But that's good for the Vikings because that means that instead of Detroit starting at the 25, they're starting at the 16 or the 14 or the 9 or wherever he fair caught the ball. And remember, it's not like a punt where the defense can to touch it down. It's a fair, it's an open, it's a live ball. So the defense has, so the returning team has to catch the ball. So Detroit has to catch the ball. And as soon as Detroit gets the ball, unless the guy waves his arm for a fair catch, the clock starts ticking. So the Vikings messed up here. And it's infuriating that it hasn't been discussed more. And now I'm infuriated that you're fighting me on this. But anyways. All right. Let's wrap this podcast up. The top five coaches. So 5 is Zimmer. I hate him. Number 4, Mike Tomlin. I have him at 5. You have him at 4.
Not much interesting to say about Tomlin. Still love him. Love that he's going to be there for 30 years. Unless like some studio just gives him like $5 million bucks a year for life to be like a new studio host or something.
All right.
I love Mike Tomlin. I would give him, if I was the Jets coach and coaches were ever free agents, I'd give Tomlin $15 million a year to be the Jets coach.
Yeah, I was bitter, of course, because he was the Vikings defensive coordinator. And when Pittsburgh Steelers, the team with the least coach turnover in history, they've had 3 coaches in the last 60 years. When they called the Vikings and said, hey, can we interview your defense coordinator to be our new head coach? Instead of firing Brad Childress on the spot and giving Tomlin the job, the Vikings said, sure, take our head defense
coordinator. Which is framing Brad Childress for something that everyone would have believed he did.
Yeah. All right.
Well, you got Leslie Frazier out of that, and he's, you know, doing great.
All right, tied at 2nd, we have Bruce Arians. We both like Bruce Arians. Yes. We both admit.
We like all Arians. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess we should get that on record in case Trump wins tomorrow, right? So we're not deported, but yeah. Hey, all right. And then
stick to sports.
You're the one who made the comment. All right. Tied with Bruce Arians at 2. And we have the top 2 coaches in the NFL facing each other next week on Sunday Night Football in what is going to be just a fantastic game.
Yeah. That will like crumple in the ratings like every other game.
Pete Carroll. Number 2, or tied with Arians at 2, and then Bruce Belichick. Bruce Belichick. This podcast has gone on too long. Bill Belichick, 1. Did you notice did you watch Sunday Night Football the whole game last night, Denver and Oakland?
I watched a lot of it. Yeah.
At the very end of the game, Al Michaels was giving a promo for next week's game, and he was audibly aroused. He said, "Seattle at." He said, "The Seahawks at the Patriots." He was like so excited to actually have a fantastic game next week.
Yeah, yeah, no, for sure. Those guys have been like, first of all, they've probably never been in Oakland. That team, for sure, they've never been in Oakland. Like Chris Collinsworth has literally never been in Oakland, like since he was a player. I don't know how much the country cared about the game. It was an interesting game, certainly, like an interesting environment, either Oakland Denver game. But yeah, this is exciting. Seattle at New England. This is where the big boys come to play.
Yeah, and big boys come to play. Let's see if you can eke out a tie, ignoring tiebreakers for a second.
I do Seattle like the, like you. You're it's funny because you're complaining about the Vikings losing Tomlin, but the Jets literally had both of our top 2 coaches, Belichick and Carroll, in house and let them go. You know, without a fight, basically.
Well, they didn't. Well, Carroll was bad, and Belichick quit.
Carroll had them in first place. And they lost the fake spike game and they just collapsed. But he got fired after 1-6-10 year with a really, really, really bad team.
Yeah.
You know, and they fired him to hire Rich Kotite. I mean, history was not kind. And obviously Belichick, they mismanaged that. And that's been written about a billion times. But point is that both them in-house and, you know.
All right. So what's your guess on this line between these two elite coaches? Seattle,
the game's in New England.
In New England.
New England by 4.5.
Oh, Kiva, you lose.
It's
7. I said 6.
Okay. I did pretty well this.
I beat you 9-7, closest we've had this year. I did eke out a win. This podcast has gone 1.5 hours. We had a nice little fight there in the middle or towards
you
the
know what
end.
We should you know what podcast we should have done? What? First of all, should we do like a live election podcast tomorrow night?
I'm gonna be too stressed.
You're gonna be too stressed?
I was gonna go to the Timberwolves Nets game.
Yeah.
Which is the only game that I can actually go to this year.
Timberwolves at Nets, that's a Taking Back Sunday song. It is.
But wait, seriously?
Yeah.
Oh. But I just realized I can't. I'm going to be too. If I were to be at the game, I'd be sitting there refreshing my phone every 10 seconds, nervous about the end of society.
Yeah, but it might be the last time you enjoy yourself. You should go out.
I mean, I bought my son a Andrew Wiggins jersey. We were going to go together, but
actually, the song is called "Timberwolves at New Jersey," so I'm not sure it's still
doesn't apply anymore.
Doesn't apply.
Yeah. By the way, in my aforementioned most cursed franchises ranking, I did have the Brooklyn / New Jersey Nets on that list, but they were at the very top or bottom or whatever you want to call it, the list, because nobody cares about the Nets, right? You lived in New York most of your life. How many Nets fans have you ever met?
Ayolice.
Oh, is he? Oh.
No, you know what? He's a Devils fan. I'm not even sure he's a Nets fan.
Oh. Okay, I know one fan. He lives in Brooklyn, and I don't know if he was a fan before they came to Brooklyn, but so in my entire life, I've lived in New York for most of my life, or about half my life, I've met one Nets fan. So on that note, let's us end this podcast before I have a heart attack. Akiva, good luck to you in the election tomorrow. you said you support all Aryans, so...